Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point on its Who is Acorn page. Online, the Association of Community Organizations for Reform, now Acorn, describes itself as the nation's largest grassroots community organization for low and moderate income people. Acorn, it says, helps those who have historically been locked out become powerful players in our democratic system. But right now, Acorn is all over the web and a lot of news as an organization run amok, giving shifty advice on pimping and prostitution. Conservatives say they had it nailed all along. Congress has voted to cut off its funding. This hour, On Point, not a pretty picture. Acorn in trouble. We'll be joined in a moment by one of Acorn's big critics through the years, columnist John Fund of the Wall Street Journal. But first, joining me from Washington is Carol Lenig, reporter for the Washington Post. She's been writing about Acorn. Carol, thanks for being here.
Hi there, Tom. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's kind of a laundry list of problems, allegations on Acorn's plate at this point. The thing getting a lot of the attention are these videotapes made by a couple of undercover activists who went out dressed, sort of over-the-top dressed, costumed as pimp and prostitute, sat down in Acorn offices and asked for advice on how to more or less set up shop. And what's the response they got, Carol?
In the videos, or I should say in most of the videos, some lower-level housing counselors in various Acorn offices said, hey, you might not want to tell people that you're a prostitute or you're a pimp, and here's some language you can use to avoid disclosing that, and here's how we can help you get some tax advice on this without disclosing that you're engaged in a crime. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically the gist of it. The videos are very shocking to most members of Congress and to the White House because it suggests that a community organization has some staff who don't really understand that what they're doing is potentially criminal.
And this is an organization that has received $50 million plus from the federal government in recent years. Here's a little tape from that video. These activist investigators, James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles, as pimp and prostitute. He's got a chinchilla coat and sunglasses and goofy hat and cane, and she's, you know, sort of a mini-skirted to the max, sitting in the Baltimore office. Acorn says the couple was turned away at many offices, but they had success, too. Here's an Acorn tax counselor in Baltimore trying to make their business look legal to the IRS.
The type of business or service you provide, let me make sure there's a code for it, okay?
A code for prostitution?
Well, yeah, because I have to have a name and a code number.
Well, I don't know if there's going to be a code.
But I'm going to look in there. I'm going to get my list.
Okay.
Oh, and it gets worse and gets wilder. Carol, what do you know about these tapes? Do they appear to be an accurate representation of what went on? These are not exactly mainstream journalists. The mainstream journalists didn't bring this tape.
Well, there are a lot of there's a micro issue and a macro issue in your question. The micro is, are these tapes authentic? And the answer is, in large measure, yes. Acorn is not actually disputing the bulk of the tapes and what happened there. They are disputing two things, again, to the micro, mm-hmm. that the woman in San Bernardino who's caught in one tape talking about being a prostitute once in her life and being very sympathetic to their cause and having killed her husband at some point, pretty interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. She says she was just having a gag, and she thought this was kind of a candid camera a joke that these two kids in their ridiculous outfits were engaged in, so she was just playing along. And Acorn seems to believe her, as do federal investigators who've looked into the allegation that she may have killed her husband. They found her husband. He's alive and well. The macro issue, though, is about the journalism. You know, many people think that what you see on these tapes, in large measure, is unacceptable behavior. You can't be doing this in this day and age, especially if you get federal funds. On the other hand, there are journalists who are concerned about the mishmash of claims that if low-level employees are doing something really stupid and potentially criminal, does that really reflect the entire Acorn entity? And what my colleague Alexi Mostros and I did was look a little deeper at, well, what about Acorn, and what has its history been? What other problems does it have? And we did find quite a bit of turmoil in its past and financial shenanigans.
Give us a sense of what's on that list at the Washington Post that you found, Carol.
Well, you know, with the help of some good sources in the conservative movement and other places, we were able to find some internal records from whistleblowers who said, which documented, rather, that about a year ago, Acorn was in crisis, and there were a series of board members and top managers who were in a mutiny against the Rathke family. The original founder is Wade Rathke.
1970. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And that mutiny was based on the fact that for 8 years, he and a small cadre of close associates at Acorn had concealed from the board, and many others, sorry for this
no
siren,
problem.
Had concealed from the board that his brother, Dale Rathke, had embezzled close to $1 million from a pension fund, a health care fund, and some cash using corporate credit cards of Acorn's for his personal purposes. And that really infuriated them. It got them motivated, this group of mutinous folks, to look
that is,
a little...
these are board members, or
board
were
members.
Acorn board members, yeah.
Exactly. To look a little more deeply at the finances, which had apparently had given them some pause before, and the finances meaning the porousness between the charitable and the political and the organizing arms of Acorn. I mean, Acorn was then a entity of 147-plus affiliates, and these board members wanted a forensic accounting of whether or not the money was being misused for political purposes that was coming in from donors for charitable purposes. And some of the transfers even gave an internal auditor pause, because this internal auditor said in her report that we got a copy of that there was so little documentation, Acorn could not assure the public that they hadn't misused funds for political purposes.
The chief organizer of Acorn, Bertha Lewis, now says has promised to appoint an independent auditor to review all the systems and processes, but it's not just money. And the Rathke family, apparently there'd been some confidential agreement to pay back that $1,030,000 a year. That would take a long time. But there's also controversy around the voter registration. Republicans, conservatives have claimed this for a long time. How much of that looks like a real problem or not?
Well, clearly there are a couple pretty sensitive and important cases around the country. Again, don't know if this is illustrative of the whole organization, but it certainly flags trouble. In Nevada, there were charges, criminal charges, for that organization agreeing to, in record, in document, compensating registration employees for what they call the blackjack program, in which if you registered more than 21 people a day, they'd pay you an extra bonus. And compensating people for registering voters in this way would be a violation of law. So you can't give people that kind of incentive for lots of reasons. As you know, one of the claims against Acorn is that there were employees who were registering voters with phony names like Mickey Mouse. So there are a couple cases that are pretty striking. However, that we don't know that that means all of Acorn is engaged in voter fraud.
But now there's a face or faces on this around the pimp and prostitute business. Here's more of that Baltimore Acorn video sting. The Acorn tax counselor trying to help the faux pimp and prostitute put a legitimate face on their business for tax purposes.
Performance arts. Let's see. Independent artists. You can be that.
You're an artist of sorts, the way you move your body.
I'm very independent. Well, I am now
well,
that Sonny's gone.
Yeah.
Dancing?
It's not dancing, trust me.
But dancing is considered an art. I mean, you know, the...
sex is kind of like dancing, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to say. So I'm thinking, like, if you worked in, like, in... What's that place? What's the name of that? Anyway, they usually go under performing arts. They usually go under performing arts.
Tax counseling from Acorn. John Fun joins us now from the Wall Street Journal. John, you've been following Acorn with the big hammer for about 10 years now. What are we seeing now that I don't know, that maybe you would say we hadn't seen before?
Well, I think we're seeing that every kind of organization no matter what its purported mission, deserve scrutiny. Major corporations deserve scrutiny. Government agencies deserve scrutiny. And frankly, community organizers deserve scrutiny because although there are many good groups, there's some groups like ACORN, which I think have had their mission hijacked and are actually hurting the people they're ostensibly trying to help.
Do you see this as really systemic to the whole organization? I mean, they would say, look, we've registered lots and lots of voters. How many people are there who represent the poor in this country? You know, you go out and find a few bad apples and try and smear us to the roots. Is it, what about that?
Well, every public official I'm going to mention that's going after ACORN is a Democrat. Louisiana Attorney General Buddy Caldwell has issued subpoenas to ACORN last month. The subpoenas demand all of their bank records. Why? Because their 57 tax liens have been filed against ACORN and its affiliates by the Treasury Department and the IRS. The total is over $1 million. These liens, the Attorney General of Louisiana, who's a Democrat, says, quote, went somewhere, and his office is trying to find out what happened. In other words, they didn't pay money on a lot of their withholding taxes. Where did the money go? Now, ACORN promises an internal auditor. Bertha Lewis on Sunday, the head of ACORN, said we're going to appoint one on Monday. As of yet, I haven't heard the name.
Senator Mike Johanns, a Republican of Nebraska, on the Senate floor last week, saying, let's cut off funding.
They magnify a troubling, systemic, and a criminal pattern. In fact, they serve as a public window into an organization that is besieged by corruption, by fraud, and by illegal activities, all committed on the taxpayer's dime.
There's Republican Senator Mike Johanns. Here's Jon Stewart on The Daily Show joking about the fact that it took two upstart young activist journalists to expose the ACORN scandal.
Where were the real reporters on this story? You know what, investigative media? Meet me at camera three. Where the hell were you? You know who broke this story? These two. You're telling me the two kids from the cast of High School Musical 3... can break this story with a video camera and their grandmother's chinchilla coat, and you got nothing? They did it for $3,000. That's Blitzer's monthly beard wet vac budget. It probably cost CNN that much just to turn on their hologram machine. I'm a fake journalist, and I'm embarrassed these guys scooped me.
Jon Stewart on the ACORN scandal. Jon Phone, put this in some kind of perspective for us, at least your perspective. We've got a lot of problems in this country, at home, abroad, much bigger scandals, bailouts and bonus scandals than this at the trillion-dollar level. Why the weight given to the ACORN problems? Why have you seen it over the years as something, you know, meriting the kind of attention you've given it?
Well, I think it reached prominence last year for a couple of reasons. One is Barack Obama's career, in part, has had many links to ACORN. He worked for a voter registration program that was run by an ACORN partner, later completely owned by ACORN. Then he was a trainer, a top trainer for ACORN in Chicago. Then he was their lawyer on several key cases. Now, the president wants to distance himself, basically saying, I didn't even know they got federal funding. But his ties to ACORN are many and numerous. Secondly, ACORN was involved in a massive voter registration drive last year, and in some places like Nevada that were mentioned, 48% of the forms they turned in were clearly fraudulent, and ACORN itself was indicted. So ACORN has a systemic problem here, and its own board members last year revolted after the embezzlement that the reporter from the Washington Post mentioned. And these board members, all of them are liberals. All of them believe in ACORN's mission, and they tried desperately to get reporters to write about their story. And frankly, because ACORN had a noble mission and was a community organizing group, a lot of people just decided that to give them benefit of the doubt. I think that benefit of the doubt is now gone, and we have to get to the bottom not just of ACORN, but frankly a lot of other groups that are allied with ACORN, like the Service Employees International Union, which shares a lot of office space with ACORN around the country. There are a lot of organizations that do good work in the community. There are also a lot of organizations that seem to have a political and personal agenda that has nothing to do with helping poor people.
Carol Lenig, where do you see the path taking ACORN now? Many millions, or 50-plus, from the federal government in recent years. Will that, in fact, be cut off? Barack Obama was a little ambiguous on that over the weekend. But is that gone? And if it is ACORN gone or not?
Well, it's interesting you bring this up about federal funding. There's been a lot of disinformation on both sides of the ends of the political spectrum, at least the extreme ends, mm-hmm. about their funding. Just to be clear, since 2002, they've received $10 million in total in housing counseling and housing revitalization grants. So it would not be like the bulk of where they get their money. They get their money from powerful Democratic donors like the Sanders and the Fords, and that is their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Now, it would hurt them to lose federal funding, no question. But remember, it's a zillion different affiliates with different purposes, allegedly, and some questions about whether or not they have firewalls between them. I have heard that the
53 million, let me just ask you, Carol, is what? There's
$53 million is a number that's based on some federal funds as well as state pass-through grants, mm-hmm. going all the way back to 1994.
Okay.
The $10 million number is based on going back to 2002.
Got it.
And so I've heard some people say that ACORN leaders are thinking about the idea that they just separate themselves from voter registration and that a different new entity with a new name and separate leadership focuses on that, so that there's a real separation between the public service and the political activity. Remember, the internal audits that we wrote about and the documents we obtained focused on a porousness between those two entities, and that's what makes people so anxious. Would we, as Daryl Issa said over the weekend, would we as taxpayers unknowingly be being paying for a political agenda? Project Vote and ACORN seem to have a lot of officials, Project Vote being connected to ACORN, seem to be having a lot of overlap between the officials who were working on public work and charitable work and those who were in roles of deciding what states should we focus on to help Obama get elected. So that's where they got into trouble.
Daryl Issa, conservative California congressman. Carol Lenning, I know we have to let you go, but thanks for being with us for a few minutes here today.
Happy to do it.
Thanks for joining us, Carol Lenning of The Washington Post. John Fun, let's take some calls from Westmoreland, Tennessee. Byron, you're on the air. Hi, Byron.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
This whole scandal, regardless if you're conservative or liberal, it's cost ACORN its credibility because the people there did not do their job on monitoring what their people are giving out for advice, following the money trail, trying to maintain a standard that's above reproach. And then secondly, any organization like this that receives any federal funding, there should have been more oversight from the federal government's perspective, because federal money is our money. It's taxpayer money. And if your organization is getting it, then you should expect to have everything looked at least more than just a casual observation. At this point, the credibility of ACORN is gone. They don't have any credibility. And it would put them in a position where even the very people they say they're trying to help would probably view them distrustful.
Byron, we've got the perspective, and I appreciate it. Let's hear from ACORN directly. Brian Kettnering is joining us, spokesman for ACORN, joining us from Washington. Brian, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You hear our caller in Tennessee saying you needed more oversight, your credibility's gone. What do you say?
I think he raises some important points, that what showed in the videos really did raise some questions about the training and the supervision of the individuals depicted in the videos. I think, you know, that was a total of 8 or 10 employees. So I think, you know, ACORN proper has about 400 employees, and I think many of them and the 500,000 member families of the organization really feel strongly that, on the one hand, the videos and some of the substance therein is abhorrent, but on the other hand, it's not representative of who we are and what we stand for and what we do every day.
John Fund, there's the argument from ACORN. This is not representative. These are little slices, 8 employees out of a lot of employees. Don't make too much of it. What do you say, John?
Well, last year when 8 ACORN board members demanded an independent auditor, they were removed from the board of ACORN, apparently because ACORN didn't want someone to look at its books from outside. I can't figure out where these 57 tax liens come from. The Attorney General of Louisiana, a Democrat, says the money that apparently wasn't paid in withholding taxes went somewhere. Where did it go? Where's the outside auditor? I still don't get answers to these questions.
Brian Kettenring?
I got to say that I heard some of what Mr. Fund was saying, and I mean, he's sort of contributing, you know, one incorrect fact after another so quickly that I'm not sure we have enough time in the show to sort of correct all the errors, but I will try and correct some of them. I just want to sort of step back for a second and make sure we understand the big picture here. ACORN is an organization that fights every day for low and moderate income families, working families, poor families, communities of color, immigrant families.
Yeah, we got that. We stated it right at the top. We've got that piece. Yep.
This is not a campaign speech, so I'll get to the question at hand, but I'm trying to make sure the context is understood, which is that's what we're about. Mr. Fund does represent the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, or at least writes on it, which is essentially the sort of spokesvoice for wealth and power in America. And he's, you know, written extensively about us, and I will try to correct some of the misinformation, but I think it's important that the listener understand that this is an organization that was working on behalf of working families, and we are under a concerted assault, and there's just so much misinformation being thrown at us. It makes us look pretty bad, frankly. But
you've got the lawsuits, you've got the tape, you've got your board members resigning. I mean, those are all facts.
The board members were fired.
Actually, John's correct on that. The board members, let's talk about that just to sort of take one example. A couple of our board members in 2008 sued the organization and misrepresenting that they represented the whole board. They were trying, and what in their view was to do the right thing procedurally to sort of reform the organization. There's no question that there were some sort of improper or things that needed to be strengthened under new management. New management was brought in June 2008 after Mr. Rathke was fired. So I think there's actually agreement on all parties. The question is, how do you get there? A couple of our board members behaved in the majority of the board's opinion irresponsibly and actually filed suit against the organization, and they were voted out for that behavior. And if you were on the board of the Wall Street Journal, and you sued the Wall Street Journal, the board might not think that's really the right way to go about handling it.
Will you survive without federal funding, Brian?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the we have always felt that our commitment is to serving the needs of low and moderate income communities, and for that reason, those communities need to help sustain the organization, and if they don't, then that will speak for itself and say essentially you're not serving our needs. I think the fact that we've thrived and grown over the years is a testament to the fact that the communities that ACORN serves, the communities that we helped raise the minimum wage for recently.
Right. We've got it. I want to get to John. John, what do you make of that perspective?
Well, the outside auditor was promised last Friday, and then it was promised Monday. Maybe we can find out when the outside auditor is going to be named.
Well, a press release is going out as we speak. I'm actually pleased to share with you and the listeners that the former Attorney General of the state of Massachusetts, a gentleman named Scott Harshberger, has agreed to conduct an independent review of all of the services and the issues pertaining to the tapes, and perhaps to look more broadly. I really don't want to prejudge.
Perhaps to look more broadly? Perhaps?
Well, what I'm saying is that he is going to act independently. He's going to use his own judgment. He's going to be speaking to the media tomorrow, but a press release is going out as we speak naming the independent review. And, you know, it's not my place to judge what he's going to do.
So there'll be an auditor, and there will clearly be a lot of scrutiny from outside this time as well. Let me get a call right here from Ozark, Alabama. Jackie, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to make a comment about the ACORN scandal. Not minimizing some employees that has behaved badly, but in comparison to the federal funding that goes to Blackwater and the fact that they killed innocent people, I would think it's more politicized based on the fact, that they registered poor people. and not so much government funded that people seem to be capitalizing on, which is less than 2% of their budget. Where's the outrage, not only about the federal money, human loss, with Blackwater? So I think it's been blown out of proportion for political reasons.
Jackie, we've got it. John Fund, what do you say to that? And Brian says, you know, you write for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. You're the voice of wealth and power in America. They're out there trying to register poor voters. Somebody's got to do it. Jackie says, here to that. What do you say, John?
I refer you to the Democratic Attorney General in Nevada, the Democratic Secretary of State in Nevada, Democratic officials all over the country that have had problems with Acorn. If he wants to shoot the messenger, go ahead. But, you know, these are not Republican conservatives who are raising these charges and issuing subpoenas against Acorn. The Congressional Research Service says Acorn is the only taxable nonprofit in the country. In other words, it has subsidiaries that get federal funds and act as nonprofits and charities, while its parent group often has profit-making activities and engages in political activity. It's a complete conflict of interest, and the fact that it's the only taxable nonprofit in the United States should tell us that there's something deeply troubling about the structure of Acorn, where it combines nonprofit activity with profit-making activity under the same roof.
Are you bothered that its registration drives have tended to help Democratic candidates? Is that at the center of your critique, John, or not?
I think voter registration fraud or voter intimidation, regardless.
But I didn't say fraud or intimidation. I mean, I don't know what's been there and what hasn't, but they have put people on the voting rolls. Is that on the face of it a problem for you?
Voter registrars all over the country say by clogging the voter rolls with names that don't exist or names that are made up out of thin air, you make it more difficult for eligible voters to actually vote. In other words, you're basically gumming up the system. And that is a problem regardless of which party is affected. I'm concerned that voter registration fraud or voter intimidation, regardless of who conducts it, is wrong, flat out wrong. And the officials who found that 48% of the forms, for example, they filled out in Nevada were probably fraudulent, do have a problem. They think this is systemic behavior. Acorn in Nevada was hiring people out of a work release program from the local prison who'd been convicted of identity theft.
Brian, I've only got you for another minute. Do you think you'll be out and effective again in the next election cycle in registering low and moderate income voters?
I think we haven't set our strategy for 2010 or beyond, but I think I can say that the mission is so critical that we perform every day. And we're determined to make the changes needed to move forward aggressively. I would say that just on this question about voter fraud, I mean, Mr. Fund is a leader in sort of drumming up. He's actually written a book, which I have here on my desk, called Stealing Elections. People should go out and buy it and then read the critiques of it. But there's been a whole right-wing body of work that ran through the media and actually ran up to Karl Rove in the White House, where there was an intent to go after so-called voter fraud. The problem with this is that there's sort of not a there when you get beyond it. I mean, I think some of the questions Mr. Fund raises are legitimate, but at the end of the day, there is no pattern. There's been a lot of people looking at this question. There's been no pattern. There's been no evidence of actually any improper votes being cast as a result of what people are calling voter registration fraud. What it really is about is about creating a sort of campaign issue for Republicans. You saw the way Mr. McCain used this.
John Fund is with us, columnist for The Wall Street Journal. He's written critically of Acorn since 1999. He's been on the case here and not happy. On ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, President Obama was asked about the scandal swirling around Acorn.
How about the funding for Acorn?
You know, it's not really something I've followed closely. I didn't even know that Acorn was getting a whole lot of federal money.
Well, the Senate and the House have voted to cut it off.
Yeah, what I know is that what I saw on that video was certainly inappropriate and deserves to be.
So you're not committing to cut off the federal funding?
George, this is not the biggest issue facing the country. It's not something I'm paying a lot of attention to.
President Obama on Acorn. Des Moines, Iowa. Susie, you're on the air with John Fund.
Hi, everybody. It's my first time calling in. I just want to point out that I keep hearing about prostitutes and pimps, and I think there's a far bigger issue going on here. What was really going on in those videotapes was enabling two people to traffic international underage victims for human trafficking. And that's what really bothers me, is because that's a huge issue in our country. It doesn't get enough on the spotlight.
Susie, let me just clarify on that. They were telling the ACORN staff that they were going to bring in 13-year-old El Salvadoran girls and set up a brothel, essentially. And they got, they at least in some places, they appear to have gotten some advice on how to do that.
Well, I think it's outrageous. I mean, according to the U.S. federal law, anybody under the age of 18 being used for any kind of commercial sex is automatically a victim of human trafficking. And to see that not only were they assisting and coaching on what to say, they thought this was an okay plan to bring in underage girls to be used as prostitutes who clearly were not going to be making any money from the prostitution. So I think there's a bigger issue here.
What about the other side of their work, voter registration and, as they would put it, standing up for the poor, Susie? How does that stack up in your mind?
Well, I work for the nonprofit world, so I think that that's a great cause, and I think that we need to be doing that. But unfortunately, I'm completely stuck on the human trafficking issue. I work with several nonprofits against human trafficking, and to not only encourage but to actually coach people on how to do that, we certainly don't need that in this country. We have enough human trafficking going on as is.
Susie, thanks for your call. Here's a little tape from that. Again, these are the two young activist investigators, James O'Keefe, Hannah Giles, posing as pimp and prostitute. You'll hear them both speak here. First, Hannah Giles talking. They've said they're going to bring in a bunch of very young El Salvadoran girls and set up essentially a brothel. They're talking about what to do with the money and how to cover. You'll hear the counselor at the ACORN office. This is in Washington, D.C., speaking with them.
The girls that are going to be living there, they're going to be paying me, so I could just, you know, I could just give him the cash.
Yeah, but what we're saying is he can't hang out at the house.
He can't hang out
with
her. But
you know, you're your girlfriend, but we're talking about your career. Yeah. How far are you trying to go?
I'm using the money that she's getting. You know what I mean?
Okay, but you don't know where it's coming from.
I personally know where it's coming from.
Right, but when the police ask you, you don't know where it's coming from. It's what we're trying to tell you.
All right.
We're looking out for you.
We're looking out for you, says the ACORN staffer to the posing pimp and prostitute. Jonah in Burlington, Vermont, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think what's most important for us to look at right now, especially regarding credibility, is this question, how are your listeners supposed to get truthful information about issues in the United States when, for example, the figure of 10% or 9.76% was used throughout your show last week about unemployment, when, in fact, expert economists, people in the know and thinking people, know that the actual figure is between 18 and 20%. So people are hearing 10%, and that sounds awful, but they're being kept in the dark about what's really going on. That 10% does not count people who have lost their unemployment.
Well, I want to go to ACORN, but I take your point. I mean, over time, we've talked about how the fact that the real unemployment rate may be higher than the official level, but of course, that is a metric that we, not just here, but right across the country, used to measure the relative rate over time. But what's your point when it comes to ACORN, Jonah?
Well, that I'm calling about the misinformation. The actual number is 18 to 20%. And to throw that 10% around like fact, you know, I hear that it's important.
It's a national metric. I'm going to have to let you go there because we want to look at ACORN today. I take your point. The world is a complicated place. Unemployment can be higher than the official number, yet that's a metric we use. Let me get one more. Nashville, Tennessee. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. I work with a couple of nonprofits in the South, and, you know, for a long time, everybody's known that ACORN has had a lot of these problems, and it's, to some degree, it's sort of satisfying to see them finally be brought to light, because for so long they've given all of us a bad name, and unfortunately that's what's going to continue to happen, but hopefully some of this can get put behind us, because as the gentleman from the Wall Street Journal mentioned earlier, now he's talking about the SEIU and other groups that really do good work and aren't fraudulent organizations at all. But, you know, because of this work that ACORN does day in and day out, that it gives all of us a bad name, and but the problem is nobody wanted to do anything about it because they had so much funding that they weren't the kind of group that you wanted to, you know, upset. And so, you know, this something's been going on, and people in the progressive world have known about it for a long time, but there's just nothing we could do about it because they had so much funding. and given all of us a bad name. And I just want to make sure people realize that there are a lot of good groups out there doing good work on the progressive end of the spectrum that don't have these problems and have never had these problems.
Chris, we've got it. Our time begins to grow short. John Fund, how about it? Chris says Acorn may have been a bad apple here, but there's a lot of good progressive work going on. Would you agree?
A lot of community organizations do a lot of good work, but Acorn has tended to infect everything it touches. A lot of its programs, like the anti-Walmart campaign, I talked to Nate Toller, who's a former organizer for that. He said it had been corrupted by Acorn. The Service Employees International Union, the founder of Acorn, who got caught up in the embezzlement scandal and had to leave last year, he still controls the Service Employees International Union, a large local that covers four states. So
it was his brother who did the embezzling, I guess.
Yes, but he was caught up in the cover-up of the embezzlement. And so I think that there are other organizations that have gotten what I call the Acorn disease, which is the bad seed that Acorn tends to spread around. And I think we have to clean up those organizations, too. And as I said, corporations deserve scrutiny, government agencies deserve scrutiny. But these community organizations, because they have a noble mission, for too long, too many people in the media have basically taken whatever they said at face value. I don't think we can do that for corporations. I don't think we can do that for government agencies. I don't think we can do it for community organizers either.
But a couple of callers have said, yes, look at this and try and get it straight, but we've got much bigger issues that perhaps the media hasn't paid enough attention to. I mean, the whole financial problem nearly took the country down.
Acorn was part of that. Acorn, using the Community Reinvestment Act, lobbied banks, picketed in front of banks, demanding that banks lower their loan standards. They helped contribute to the subprime mortgage mess. That's a report from the Congressional Committee on Government Oversight. That's a congressional report that Acorn helped fuel the growth of things like no down payment mortgage loans. And basically, they contributed to the collapse of the housing bubble. So this is something that affects everyone of your listeners, because Acorn was one of the prime movers for government policies, both under Republican and Democratic administrations, that precipitated this housing meltdown.
I want to go to Omaha, Nebraska, and Dan. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to say that, Acorn, a few bad apples. People seem to forget to mention that the reporters went to multiple cities and, in fact, had the cops called them. I think it was Denver. And these organizations are trying to do good.
Acorn staffers called the cops in at least one location, yep.
Correct. So, they seem to be overlooking that. And, there's bad apples. Even in the military, there's people that do unscrupulous things, and they get dealt with. And, hopefully, we just got to look, scour the people who are doing bad and uplift the people who are doing good.
Dan, thanks for calling. I want to bring another voice into our conversation right now. Glenn Greenwald is with us, columnist for Salon.com. His latest book is Great American Hypocrites. He's been writing in defense of Acorn. Glenn, what do you hear in this debate, this uproar over Acorn? Hello, Glenn Greenwald. Hello, Glenn, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here. How are you?
Very well. What do you see, Glenn?
Well, I just want to follow up on the point that the last caller just made, which is there seems to be the standard that if a few Acorn employees are caught doing things untoward, and obviously nobody condones what was done in the videotape, that somehow impugns Acorn as a whole. I mean, every large organization has individuals in it who do bad things, and if that's the standard we're going to use, I mean, look at the Republican Party. They've had far more scandals involving prostitution than Acorn has ever had, and not from low-paid, low-ranking employees of the type caught on this video, but a United States senator currently in power, David Vitter, Duke Cunningham, a former member of Congress in prison, Ted Haggard, one of the leaders of the evangelical movement of the Republican Party, all caught up directly in scandals of prostitution. So is it fair to say that because these powerful individuals in the Republican Party are involved with illegal prostitution, that means the Republican Party as a whole should be impugned? And I think that's what's really getting lost.
But should Acorn get a pass, Glenn? Should Acorn get a pass on?
No, of course. Should the Republican Party get a pass because David Vitter had prostitutes put him in diapers? The individuals who were caught on these videotapes have been fired by Acorn and condemned by its leadership. So the idea that somehow Acorn itself which helps enormous numbers of people in poverty in the United States, is impugned by the acts of a few individuals. The people who are saying that are being wildly inconsistent because their own institutions, and sometimes those people themselves, the critics of ACORN, have been involved in far worse scandals involving sex and all sorts of illegality. I think that this is the critical issue, is if you look at the work that ACORN does, we're a country where the rich-poor gap is increasing rapidly. Poverty in the United States is expanding and has been expanding over the last several years. There are very few groups devoted to providing services for the America's poor, trying to get them into a home ownership the way that ACORN does. And if you look at the people who are most loudly attacking them, people like John Fund and the Wall Street Journal and Fox News, what you find is that these are basically nothing more than appendages of the Republican Party, people who represent the interests of the rich. And so ACORN is an organization that brings huge numbers of previously unregistered voters into the political process. Most of them end up voting Democratic, and they help the poor. And that's what this is about. It's about targeting a political a group for partisan and political ends to help the Republican Party.
Stand by, John Fund. I want to get your reaction to that. What interest do you see yourself representing here, John, as you've written about ACORN for 10 years now?
Well, my best sources were the ACORN 8. They're at acorn-8.net. Marcel Reed and the other former board members of ACORN who were fired because they demanded an internal audit have basically told me this is a scam operation. It's a plantation-style management system where you have the people at the top basically exploiting the people at the bottom. In 1995, ACORN even sued the state of California to be exempt from the minimum wage. Their employees were going out with petitions demanding a higher minimum wage paid for by the unions that were promoting those measures, and they were suing the state of California to be exempt from the minimum wage. The ACORN has been busted by the National Labor Relations Board for illegally firing people who were trying to unionize inside ACORN. What kind of hypocrisy is this? This is not a progressive organization. This is not a left-right issue. This is an up-or-down issue. And ACORN is descended into the depths of hypocrisy and corruption.
Let me get a call. I'll come to you, Glenn. John in Hartford, Connecticut. You're on the air, John.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to say that I know ACORN employees who are not in the slightest bit dishonest or corrupt. I'm someone who went through ACORN's housing counseling program to buy my home, and the employees were very knowledgeable and very honest. And I think the action of Congress, and certainly what I'm hearing from your guest, is sort of a reaction based on hysteria that your guest is promoting and fanning, painting with a very bad brush, broad brush, and I think it's very, highly partisan.
But how much are you willing to overlook? There was almost a million.
I'm not willing to overlook.
$1 million embezzled.
I'm not willing to overlook a single thing. I mean, I think the employees who, I've watched some of the videotapes. I can't, there's no room for that kind of behavior at all in any organization. So I don't think it's a matter of overlooking anything. But what I would like to see is, congressional leaders and judicious approach that they take to other issues to this. I mean, understanding that there are people on both sides, with very strong opinions.
Yeah.
I'd like to see folks to get to the bottom of it, hear from all sides, do the research, get the facts, rather than play into a hysteria.
John, we've got it. You're breaking up on us. But there is an allegation out there, Glenn Greenwald, that seems to have some weight to it, that some of this has just had not enough attention paid to it. It might have been better for ACORN if it had. It might have, not have slipped into the kind of really tawdry stuff we saw in these videotapes, Glenn.
Yeah, ACORN itself says that, as is true for any organization, that if individual employees are doing things that are wrong, they want to know about it so they can take action. But here's how you know how manipulative and insincere the people are who are pushing this ACORN scandal. If it's sort of like somebody who claims to want to fight crime and constantly complains about jaywalking while huge numbers of rapes and murders take place in front of their face and they say nothing. These people, like John Fund, are claiming they're concerned about the taxpayer dollars going to ACORN. The amount of money that goes to the government money that goes to ACORN is a tiny, minuscule amount. They purposely remain independent of government funding. It's something like $2 or $3 million a year on average. You compare that to the types of industries and corporations that the Wall Street Journal routinely defends. People on Wall Street, Blackwater, Halliburton, all the contractors in Iraq, where not millions of dollars, but billions, hundreds of billions, and trillions of dollars have been wasted through fraud and abuse. And people like the Wall Street Journal and Fox News have been defending those interests. 25 of the senators, of the Republican senators who just voted to defund Acorn, opposed in 2006 a law that would have imposed far greater scrutiny on the Wall Street interest and the military contractors in Iraq that are literally bankrupting the this country.
Glenn, our time is short here. We've got it. I'm going to go to John Fund here for the last. John, we just got 30 seconds left. Your priorities here in your
report. Acorn has 204 separate affiliates. If you total up all of the federal money that goes to them, and many of them are groups that aren't transparent, it is a lot more than the $2 to $3 million. Marcel Reed of Acorn 8 is a liberal. She runs the board members that were thrown out of Acorn. She has the most compelling story possible of an organization that was hijacked from its original mission. You should have her on as a guest. She cannot be accused as being someone from the right wing.
That's what we have time for today. Glenn Greenwald, columnist for Salon.com, joining us today from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Glenn, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And John Fund, columnist for The Wall Street Journal, joining us today from New York City, has been writing about Acorn for 10 years. John, thank you for joining us today.
A pleasure.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.